Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high.
Good morning, KKFX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. And our guest in the studio today is Lon Haley, right?
Haley. One of my missions in life, help pronounce it. Just think of the word valley with an H on it. Okay. Don't go down the valley, go down there.
Well, welcome, Lon, and welcome, listeners. And listeners, I'm glad that you guys have turned in. We are at the first of the year. Hope you had a great Christmas and a happy new year. And Lon, how you doing?
Doing good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about who Lon is?
Well, I guess first and foremost, I will obviously tell you about my coming to know Christ.
That's that would be awesome.
Growing up, my real father died when I was only 4 months old. I died in a fire accident in Arkansas, the South. So you can take the boy out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the boy. So I have those Southern roots. Because of that, you know, I had some experiences growing up, as many people have, of alcoholism in the family. Not that it was all bad. My dad was a binge drinker. Every Christmas, you know, we was wondering if he would be drunk or not. And so when he wasn't, he left me some positive legacies. I want to be fair. But it did have his impact on me. But my mom invited me to a Southern Baptist church in San Jose, California. It was called Cambrian Park Baptist Church, right across from Camden High School in those days. Renamed itself Camden Avenue Baptist, the new name of the street there. And I started attending that, and some men there, I got involved in Sunday school, and the men there had a great active involvement, which I would encourage any men out there, if you're wondering if you can have an impact, you know, for boys that are 8 to 12 years old, there's such a need out there them to have positive role models. And that's exactly what they did for me. They showed me love. Mr. Brownfield, Mr. Maples, Mr. Curtis, Cumby, all those guys, I can remember them and how they influenced my life. And they showed me some good things. Well, that influenced me. So one day, one night, I was reading little stories, and I was actually, as a kid, you know, making a little puppet on my hand, as I recall. But I was really just listening to the Holy Spirit's tugging my heart. I knew I had a decision to make. And turns out they were doing a sermon on the Holy Spirit. But I decided to listen to my heart. And so I leaned over my mom and said, "Mom, I think I want to go forward." They had altar calls back in those days. And she just, you know, fell apart crying. I was a little embarrassed because he was just totally emotional about the feelings, and I understand that. But so I went forward, and as I sat there, I just remember them saying, "Well, does he really understand the Holy Spirit?" You know, and I had no clue what the sermon's about. I just knew the Holy Spirit has been working in my heart. But the bottom line is, I made a decision. One of my favorite sayings now is, "We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us." And so I decided, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I knew my life was different. I knew I had to choose between, am I going to live my life for God, walk His way, or I'm going to walk my own way. I decided to follow God, and that's made all the difference in the world in my life. He's been through me ups and downs. And that foyer, that October morning, I can remember them opening up the front door, and the wind brisked in of cool, and it just felt a refreshing of my soul. I knew I'd made the right decision. I knew He was in my heart. And from that day forward, I wish I could say everything was rosy and life went well. But the reality is, one of my other favorite sayings is that the Christian life is not so much about ups and downs as much as ins and outs. We can be walking in fellowship or out of fellowship with our Lord. He's always with us. It's us that kind of strays at times in our walk. But he's been faithful, and I've learned a lot about faith.
Okay. Why don't you go into a little bit of what you've learned about faith?
Well, I guess it starts making decisions. Again, our decisions, we make our decisions, decisions make us. I grew up in the Jesus movement era in the 70s. I remember Randy Stonehill, who was a musician. You may have heard him back in the 70s. He sat right with me in the gym class, right two bleachers back on rainy days in the gym there. And I remember him back in the 70s, but grew up in that. And then people started bringing their Bibles to school. I got caught up in that, and for the first time, I really decided to read the Bible from cover to cover. I would spend hours in my car, my family station wagon, just reading the Good News for Modern Man, and for the first time, understanding the nature of the Holy Spirit, and just a journey there. And there's been many life situations that we could spend all day talking about those, but I think I'll just talk about some of the recent things. I grew up with having faith. But it was, it was the kind of faith where it was, you're behind on a bill or something, and you got an RS refund coming, and it just happens to come in you're anticipating, but it comes, and we praise God, we have faith that God's going to provide, but you kind of knew where it was coming from, in the back of your mind. But in the last 10 years, God has taken me through some experiences. First, I opened up my own business, Computer Learning Center.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about that right now.
You know, I had been involved, I was a professor I've taught over 45 different college courses, ended up going to Cal Baptist University, ended up teaching there. But fast forward to, I had a real interest in computers. All these are experiences that I'll fast forward through. We can maybe go back a little later. But anyway, I took a step of faith. I saw this facility, and I had no money. Had a dream. They said I started on a prayer, and no money.
Isn't that a good way to get started?
Yeah, well, I remember going to this facility that I'd seen before. Turns out it had become vacant. And I went and literally laid my hands on the door. I said, Lord, if it's your will, I'd really like to have this, to have my own training center. And I made this ridiculous offer. I'd been involved in real estate. I just said, well, I'm going to have all this done in here to make it pliable. And ended up costing an estimate of $20,000, which was like, they're just going to laugh at me. And on plus, I didn't have any money to start paying the rent, so I just said, okay, I need 3 months free rent for me to wrap up here and get going. And to my surprise, God answered a prayer, and there I was. I had a lease in hand, and I remember that day distinctly. I had a choice either to apply for a full-time teaching position over at Butte College, where I'd been teaching for the last 14 years, or open up this training center, one of those pivotal moments. And I took a step of faith. Little did I know what God had in plan for me during those six, seven years.
God, what was that, may I ask? What did he have in plan for you?
Well, God knew that I had basically pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I desired to be successful in high school. The one thing that gave me a sense of self-worth, because I didn't really get that from my stepfather. I was a redheaded stepchild, as he mentioned one time. So I found that academics was my niche. I applied myself. I credit that to a sixth grade teacher. Teachers are very important in our lives. And found I did well, and I was somebody when I got that A, or got a good grade. I was significant in somebody's eyes. So grades and academia became very important to me. I since learned that our identity is in Christ. We don't rise and fall with just grades. It's who he says we are.
That is true.
And so I've learned he's done a good work on me over the years, and knowing that he is who he says I am. My identity is in Christ, not in anything else.
Amen.
But anyway, I opened up this training center, and from that point on, as I said, thought I could pull this off myself, and it did take a step of faith. But really, it was kind of like the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, hey, throw us in the fire, and our Lord will deliver us. But the little phrase that a lot of people miss is, but even if he doesn't, and I was thinking, I think God wanted me to know that even if he doesn't, do I have that kind of even if he doesn't faith? So anyway, month to month, I had a big nut to crack every month, as they say, in business. And anybody that's in business knows what I'm talking about. It is a walk of faith.
That's true.
In this economy and staying afloat, I understand. I've been a professor of business, so I have one rail on the academia side, the teacher side, and the other side, the real world, where I've been in the School of Hard Knocks and learned. And faith is very important in business. So anyway, I can tell you just a couple of stories. One in particular I'm not proud of, but you know, being a small entrepreneur, I would put off paying my taxes, as some of you have done, I'm sure. Been there, done that, as they say. And kind of putting off the inevitable. Well, one day, I got that infamous knock on the door, and two IRA agents walk into my facility, and there was a attorney there that was new kid on the block and trying to make a name for himself, and there's nothing I could do to negotiate with him. He just wanted his money now, and I just basically told him one time, "You're trying to shut me down, aren't you?" And he goes, looks at me, he says, "Yes, I am." And that's what I had to contend with. Didn't endear me to the IRS very much, but I had to deal with it, and I had nowhere else to go, and that was the point. Before I had something, I could pull a rabbit out of hat. Lon could do something. You know, I'd figure out something to survive, but I had no way. There was like $16,000 owed. This was like a tsunami for me. How am I going to come up with $16,000? It wasn't like $200 or $500. This was $16,000. And so I had been involved in a real estate project years ago in Sacramento, in a business venture of mine, and 288 acres of development. And I'd been in it for like 15 years, but it really hadn't transpired to any money. It was a long-term project. So my general partner, I was one of the three general partners involved in it, and I went to Wayne. I said, "Wayne, just a heads up," because the guy had called me and said, "Oh, we found out you got in a real estate project, and we're going after that." My response was, "Well, more power to you. I don't have any money out of it." So I just called him up, and after I'd prayed the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. All I know is go to you. I had no solutions here. I was flat on my back on this matter. I was afraid every day that this IRS was going to come in with a sheriff's department and shut me down, right, and the embarrassment of being there with all the clients and everything. And again, I'm being transparent. These are things I don't like sharing, you know, and a lot of people don't know. But I'm just sharing these things and being vulnerable with you because maybe you're in the situation in life where you don't know which way's up. And I just learned that God's faithful. If you pray and you're in his will, he will definitely be there with you. One of my favorite verses is in Isaiah and Psalms. It says, "Though you go through the fire and the flood, yet will he be there with you." And he didn't say he removed the fire and flood, but he said he'd be there with you through it all. And I learned that he was with me. Well, I told Wayne, just heads up, this guy's going to be contacting you, and just so you're aware. And he goes, "Well, how much you owe?" I go, $16,000. He goes, "Really?" And he paused. He says, "Would you really be willing to sell your interest in the property?" Let me pray about this. "Yeah, sure, how much?" And he goes, "Would you take $35,000? And I just, right now, almost keep from crying because it was just this direct answer prayer. I had no way of knowing how God was going to provide. You know, we limit our ways of thinking how God can do things and solve problems, and we don't realize, is anything too hard for the Lord? It says in the Old Testament, is anything too hard? Is anything beyond his arm's reach? And it was just a demonstration of a faith building. I had the money that I needed, $16,000 in 2 days, was paid off. I had the extra cash I needed to upgrade my lab that was desperately needed. And talk about bolstering my faith. It was not what I did. It was simply purely faith in God and trusting his goodness for my life. Undeserved favor. You know, I didn't do anything to earn that. It was strictly just God's love for me. And he was showing me that he cared for me and loved me and saw me through that fire and that flood. So it was a tremendous story.
So it was faith in God, not faith in Lon.
Amen to that.
Well, Lon, let's take a moment here and do a quick break real quick. Okay. Listeners, welcome to KKXX. And you are being encouraged, informed of good news, and we are lifting up Christ. And if you are really being blessed by this show, I would love to hear some feedback. Feel free to give a call to the station. The phone number is 894-7325. Once again, this is Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith. We are on every Saturday from 11 to 12, and I hope you guys had a great Christmas, a great New Year. As you know, we are into 2015, and I hope whatever God has in store for you this year will come to pass. All right, back to our guest, and our guest is Alon Haley, and he's been talking to us about stories of faith and different things that God has brought him from and has been showing him. So, Alon, welcome back, and continue on.
Yeah, during the break, I was thinking maybe like the movie Back to the Future. I want to kind of go back a little bit and tell you another story of faith that was really laying the foundation of God's progressively. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes in life we hold on to something, our lives, like a stick in our hand with a grip, you know, desperately holding on. And in my life, God has just come one at a time, kind of peeled off the thumb and peeled off the one finger at a time to let me let go of myself and let God. And so back when I was in Sacramento, I mentioned the real estate project I was involved in. And I had just moved from Southern California. I'd been a college professor, you know, this esteemed professor at the California Baptist University. Then had two boys born during that period, and it was time to make a change. Things at the college there were a little tight financially then. It's really just blossomed in recent years. And so we had moved to Northern California, and nobody wanted to hire a college professor. You know, why are you applying for a job here? You know, you're going to go back to teach college soon. Well, little did they know that I was on the outs. So it got pretty tight financially. And we had a home in Southern California. I'd rented it out, and, well, several things happened. One thing, there was a fire in the place. The renters were supposed to have been there more than a year, but they kind of fibbed on that, and they were just a campsite until they transitioned. And so one of their sons ended up having a smoking cigarette that burned off the ashtray on the floor, and we had quite a bit of damage. I had to contend with that. But the main thing was I would take the money that I got from the rent and shore up bills in hopes that things would straighten themselves out next month with other efforts to make some income when you've been self-employed. And I was involved in investment real estate at the time and syndications back then. Many of you remember that in real estate those days, the syndications and limited partnerships. So anyway, I got behind on the rent, and I started getting those famous letters, 3 months, if you don't pay up, we're going to foreclose. And I've been reading a book about the man in England who had raised all the funds for his orphanages just strictly by prayer. And so that was fresh in my mind. And so one night, I remember at 11 o'clock at night, I was in this little house in Sacramento. That's a long story. But anyway, I was there in front of the wall heater, got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I just don't think this would be honoring for this to happen this way. And I'm praying, you know, as your servant did in England for the orphans, I want to do the same thing, go to you with my need. So I prayed and asked for his help here in some way. Well, I got up the next morning. I was involved in Christian Businessmen's Committee back then, and we would get up every Wednesday morning, and about 7 o'clock I'd be there, and we'd pray for people that we were seeking to share Christ with, very active in that group, led many. Oh, I wouldn't say many. I led a few, and I was joy of seeing others come to know, became a grandfather spiritually, as they say. But anyway, but the meeting was over 7:30, and I was walking out, and this gentleman tapped me, "Hey, Lon," and I said, "Yeah." Out of the blue, he says, "Do you have any needs?" And I kind of choked up, and I said, "Well, and he says, "No, come and tell me. God just put your name on my mind." He says, "I've been involved in real estate, and I got a good commission, and I give my tithe, but God wanted me to seek out an individual just to bless." And so he just put me in name, and I just wanted to know. So he said, "Tell me what you need." I said, "Well," and I explained to him. I said, "I need about $1,180. Back then, that was like 3 months' rent. I wish I had that now. But so anyway, he says, you need that much? And I said, yeah. And so he says, well, sit down. And I sat down, and he wrote a check out right then and there from 11 o'clock at night to 7:30 the next morning. God answered that prayer. Now, here's a significant thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we pray for needs, and people know about it, and the word gets around, and somebody feels moved by God, and that's a wonderful thing. But I was trying to protect my wife. I was embarrassed about this, never been in this position before. But God, only God and I knew this. I knew that and the bank, the mortgage mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. And for that to happen, there's a great book called God Winks. It's about what we call coincidences in life. This wasn't a coincidence. I knew that I could pray that prayer, and that instant, that much, the next morning, God provided. And I'm sure many of you have stories out there, but those were new experiences for me and learning knowing faith from a word to faith and living faith and trusting God. And I'm human. Those experiences, even now, you get a little anxious about things, but I'm reminded, of those times. God, it's like the old song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you.
Many if you think about it. Very many if you think about it.
Right. So that's another story I thought was very significant in terms of building my faith, moving to where God is faithful. His mercies are new every morning, it says in His Word.
That's so true. So where are you at today? What's God been recently doing in you or showing you or revealing to you spiritually? That where do you see yourself going from where you are now?
Well, that's a very good question. I guess the most significant event that's happened in the last few years is I lost my wife. She died of cancer. It'll be this Monday, December 21st. It'll be 2 years. Time marches on. And it wasn't our first marriages, but I finally thought I found somebody that loved me for who I was and made a commitment to me. Commitment was very important to me, not love. It was the commitment factor. And so things were going well, and then she got cancer. She got a little cough in August. By September, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, metastasized throughout her body, a cancer of unknown origin. And she had problems with her fluids building up in her lungs, and that just put us in a vortex, a health vortex of doctors and MRIs and all these issues. I was the primary care provider during that time. I was just overwhelmed with providing for her health needs, caring for her, providing medications. I saw the wife that I loved deteriorate right before me in my very arms, literally. And as things progressed, I want to say thank you to many members of Grace Community Church who came and supported me during that time. There's a debt I cannot ever repay, and they know who they are. But anyway, I was sitting there. You're talking, again, the theme here, faith building. I sat down one night. I had my own business. I was trying to run the business. At the same time, I'm, taking care of the household needs, shopping, laundry. I'm cooking. I felt like that commercial on TV, the woman with the frying pan in one hand and the business suit on the other hand, and doing it all. And I was doing it all. It gave me a great appreciation for women who are in those roles. But anyway, I was doing it all. I just remember I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, trying to keep up with all this, and doing outdoor work as well, the whole gamut of things, trying to keep everything going. And I sat down one night, and there was two evenings. One evening, being the guy that take charge kind of guy, I'm going to cure cancer. I was going to read everything there was. I had academia in here. I'm going to read up everything and find the right solution. We're going to solve this. There was Lon talking again.
Lon trying to do something else that
right,
God didn't want him to do.
Like Peter, it always pops up.
Putting your foot in your mouth.
Yeah. So, and so God, again, peeling off another finger of that on that tight fist, thinking I could solve my own problems many times. And so I sat down and I realized it just overwhelmed me. The time was ticking, time was short, and for me to do all this research and everything, it just wasn't going to work, and I just felt overwhelmed. And I remember one night about 11 o'clock, just before I went to bed, and I just said, Lord, this is bigger than I am. I can't handle this. And I just let go again, and God put over a piece of me. He says, I'll be there. And I just had that peace. just came up to me instant. I didn't worry about it anymore. And a few nights later, I was worried about the finances, you know, being self-employed, and all this time was taken away from my marketing efforts, again, in business. And I said, how am I going to pay the bills and take care of all this? And, you know, so it was really the question mark again. And then another moment, just a peace came over me, and God said, I never heard God speak to me like in the Old Testament audibly. But there ever was a time that I thought he did, that would have been it. You know, it's just like his words just came out and said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you.
Isn't it funny how he always comes through with us? Even when we seem to be worried and stressed out the most, he ends up showing up and taking care of us. We just need to remember that it's not us, it's God that will provide. And we just need to put our focus on him, even though that's the hardest thing talking about, because there's listeners out there going, yeah, but I'm trusting God and I've got my focus on him and I don't see him coming through yet. Maybe you could address that.
Well, you know, humorously, I always talk. The first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is, God, why you got this procrastination problem? You always wait till the 11th hour.
The 11th hour.
Yeah. 11:59. You know,
but you 30 know, seconds.
I've learned that just God just lets us exhaust our own efforts. I just got through seeing the movie Exodus, and you know, there's probably some controversial aspects of that, but overall, it was a fairly good movie, I thought. But there was one part there where he's, you know, Moses, portrayed by the actor there, was, you know, he was a take-charge kind of guy, and he was doing all the strategy, and things were just working out in his time frame. And God portrayed his little child, which was a very interesting portrayal, and that'll be a talk for another show. But anyway, the point was is that the little child that was at the burning bush says, just watch. I think God wants us to know he's God and that he cares for us and that he will provide. Yes, he and sometimes the only way he can do that is take us right to the brink. And so because then we have no choice but to trust him.
Bringing us to the end of ourselves, because as long as we're at the middle or the beginning of ourselves, we don't focus on God. But he brings us to the end of ourselves to recognize how much we need him.
That's right on. You know, and what you said there, Curtis, is very, very true. I think last year, one of the things I enjoy by working, I do work part-time at the Family Christian Store, and it's been a ministry for me. God's just blessed me. I love books. I read a lot of books. But the last couple of years, I've really got a joy of reading some old classics. And, you know, there's a verse in Genesis that says that they went to the old cisterns of the fathers and dipped into it. And I like dipping into the well of all the old wisdom there from father, and back then they wrote things not for marketing purposes. They wrote it to convey a message. So the writing's very succinct and very to the point. Every line. Well, I read a book by Andrew Murray called Absolute Surrender. Little booklet. Wow, it was just so right on. I sat down and the story about Peter, presented it. You know, Peter was God's man. You know, he was out there charging. He was the first one out of the boat. He was the first one with the sword out of his scabbard to protect Jesus. You know, he was right there. You know, he was a take action kind of guy, and I kind of relate to Peter. You know, I'm that kind of guy. Let's get something done. You know, let's organize this thing. I'm going to get it done, and that's my own ego speaking. But
where God comes in and says, "You can get it done, or we can get it done together. If you let me do it, you'll be more surprised at what I can do versus what you can do." Right, Lon?
That's absolutely true, and that he's teaching me that. He still teaches me. It's a lifelong lesson. But I read that book and realized it wasn't until Peter recognized himself. You know, he was, you know, Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times." And he goes, "Oh no, I would never do that." But when Peter saw himself, when he saw his own depravity, when he realized that he needed a Savior, it wasn't about Peter, that he got to know, he was saved by Jesus on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, not what he did. You know, the did done.
Grace, not works.
That's right. It was grace, and not any works, lest any man should boast.
Exactly.
And we sometimes in religion, in churches, get that back into the old fashion of practicing religion in our own efforts and maintain our salvation. But even after our salvation, we do a great job in the church of telling the people that, you know, God forgives us of our sins. But afterwards, you know, we go back to the salvation by works, you know, and we get it back into religion. That was Peter, you know, he was from a Jewish descent. But when he recognized who he was, when he became, it says, when he met his wits end, when he got to the end of Peter, when you get to the end of Lon, You know, you turn to Jesus, and, mm-hmm. and God lives and empowers you through His Holy Spirit to live this unattainable life. We all fail. We all fall short. Mm-hmm. I am doing it every day, and I struggle with things right now. And the only thing that I have going for me is God's grace, His love for me, and I'm learning more and more today how unconditionally He loves for me, and His grace, and that the only way I can even think about living up to the standards of holiness is because of what He does in my life, you know, because I'm forgiven. And that because of that love, I strive to accept His forgiveness where I fail and fall short, and trust in His loving kindness towards me. So, yeah, that's where God's got me now. He's teaching me some things. I'm kind of in a semi-retirement sense. I do part-time. I still do computer training. I've shut my lab down about 5 years ago. Or a little more than that now, probably about 8 years. Time marches on. And I, since then, have continued to do one-on-one with people. And, you know, it's my tent-making activity. The way I look at it is God's given me a skill to teach technology and articulate it in a way that people understand. But it also gives me an opportunity just to share my faith many times, because I do a lot of one-on-one, and a lot of people are hurting out there in different fashions.
Let me stop you for a second. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it to me the other day, and you're bringing it up again. Could you go into tent-making ministry of Paul? Could you talk a little bit about that and bring that into, because you mentioned tent-making again, bring that into what you're saying, what you're trying
Absolutely.
To relay there?
Yeah. Well, Paul was a tent-maker by trade, and one of his practices was, when he would go into a town to do an evangelistic outreach, he would set up a table, basically, and had his own business, and he would mend tents. That was a major business back then, you know, they lived in tents and things. So he would be there with his tools, and he was a tent maker, as they called him in Acts. And so that's the way he supported himself many times, along with gifts and offerings. So, but he used that as a, and so the euphemism today is, you know, to refer back to that is, if you have a business, it's not about the business. God's not called us to be in business per se, but, you know, how are we going to lift up God and lift up Jesus? And that He's given us some tent-making activities that allows us to go in and minister in some fashion.
Because He does say that if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. So how can we lift Him up that all men are drawn?
Right. Exactly. So I find myself, I've learned that, you know, I mean, I had a passion for teaching. I still have passion. That's one thing that God's called me to do is to be able to teach. And so, but it's not about computers, you know, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and just really, there's a whole story there, but I got
to go into it a little bit.
Well, I kind of fell into it. You know, you're wondering what God wants to do in your life. A lot of young people out there sorting out, but reminds me of that movie City Slickers. When I was 39 years old, Billy Crystal's riding a horse, and Jack Plants, Curly they called him, they're in this cowboy dude ranch, this little vacation outing, experiencing the range of the cows and all that. And, you know, Billy Crystal's going through a midlife crisis, trying to figure out what's really important in life. So he leans over to Curly. He goes, "Curly, what is it? What is it?" And then that Jack Plants smile, he leans over in his saddle, and he turns his head. He goes, he raises his finger, one finger, and he points up, "That one thing. One thing." And, you know, what is that one thing that seems to reoccur all the time? I mean, no matter where you're at, it keeps popping up. Well, that one thing for me was, I just seemed to, every time I got in a situation, if I was going to mow lawns, I would end up teaching somebody how to mow the lawn. You know, it just kept rising up, no matter what I did.
Teach them how to do it.
Yeah, the pattern was there. So I've just discovered in life that the thing that I'm good at and that God's blessed me with, He gives all glory here, that He's given me the ability to teach, articulate, communicate. And that's a gift He's given me. And I find whenever I'm in line with that gift that God's given me, then I'm able to be successful. There's many things I could do. Lon can do many things. He can power himself through it, but I don't enjoy it. One of those things, for example, I'm in computers. Mm-hmm. Well, I've done programming before, but I can power through that, but it's not my gift. And so in the realm of computing, I found that my forte is just teaching. I'm like the broker in between. You know, there's these techie people that I understand, And then there's the masses out there that are trying to contend with this technology, and I'm kind of the translator in between. That's
the
my
geek
role.
Type.
A geek, yeah. Well, you know the difference between a geek and a nerd is, right?
No.
Yeah, a geek is somebody who works on computers. A nerd is somebody who works on computers and likes it.
For all you computer people out there, that's a joke for you for today.
So anyway, you know, again, these are just, we all have life stories. I'm just telling you one story here, but the theme I'm hoping you see through all this that, you know, the well-laid plans of mice and men, we all have these dreams and aspirations of what we want to do for our life, and then things go haywire, divorces, deaths, and discouragement. All the D's seem to be the bad things in life, all the D's, you know, and bankruptcies and all those things that hit us all the way. And, you know, it's like a guy on the canyon, the Grand Canyon. I got to see the Grand Canyon a few years back. And just the awe of the Grand Canyon. But the story I read was that there were two people standing in the Grand Canyon. And one person looked over and was awed by the grandeur and the creation of God of this great Grand Canyon. The reason they call it grand. And the other guy next to him spit on the over the curve and was to see how long his spit would take to get to the bottom. But that was just a hit. It was a good image of me. Is that many times in life, we have two choices. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us.
That's true. Explain and, that.
Well, you can react with bitter or be better.
I like that.
We can be a victim or a victor. Everybody, you know, I remember being involved in a multi-level one time, and there's this back in the Amway days. We've all been there, right? And it's a great, I don't have any disparaging things to say about multi-level, and it does provide a good thing for a lot of people. I was going to this convention, and they had the speaker there. I think, multi-levels are a great Dale Carnegie course. It's the cheapest way to learn success principles, I think, and the attitudes about life. But I was there, and this lady from Korea was there speaking, and she told her story about being in Korea, a woman in Korea, growing up where the male dominance, she described the story about birth in Korea back then, that if you were male, the people, the townspeople, the village would wait for the announcement, and they put a little pepper on the doorpost there, and that was the announcement of a male, if you get my drift. So, but if it wasn't, everybody, they disappointed. Well, she was born a female, and that's, was she born in the society, but she always had this desire to do something, and she wanted, I forget what it was, but she wanted to do something that was totally anti the male dominance. Women just don't do that over there. So she describes these situations. Then the Korean War came, and she was describing a story about how she was running from the bombs, and she just sat down and was exhausted and crying at 5 years old, and there was this other little 12-year-old came up to her and said, you got to run, and she grabs her hand and starts dragging her and says, run, and she was running. She turned around and saw this person where she was just sitting get obliterated by a bomb. These are true stories, right? And she tells a story of seeing that in her life and the tragedy of that and how the fear and everything. She grows up through that environment, these tragedies in her life, hardships, and many, I've heard many, many stories of people who have a lot more hardships than I've had. And they feel overcome, and there's no hope. And I'm here to tell you, there's hope in Jesus. He can change the dire situation, you know. And that's my compassion. And you'll never tell me that no matter how hard it is, God can reach down and lift you up, no matter how bad off you are.
That's so true.
And so she's on the stage telling the story, and she comes to America, and she works in a hotel. Mm-hmm. And she's a cleaning lady in the hotel, but she always had this dream of starting her own health club, you know, in America. So she did. She ends up starting a whole chain of health workout places in the country. It was very successful, very wealthy. But here's the thing. I remember this was the main point she said at all the story. She goes, she was talking to a lady that had been raped. And she was sharing with her, you know, he says, you know, every time that you relive that and go over that over and over and over again, you're allowing that person to rape you again. And so he said, don't be a victim. She says, do your crying in the shower. Then dry off and go hit the streets, you know. And I think we have to have that attitude that if God be with us, who can be against us? we're all going to be hit hard in different things. We don't want to have these things happen in our life. We can't plan for them. Nobody goes and says, well, I'm going to plan to get divorced in this year.
No, that's true.
That's where God's grace comes in, and forgiveness, and letting go, and letting God. These things I've had come about through just a lot of reading and reading God's word, and through my own experiences of having my own hard knocks. So.
One thing I think about is talking about quiet times where God tells us to get alone with him. And, you know, you brought it up. You can get alone with him in a closet. You can get alone with him in a shower. But wherever nothing is around you to distract you or disturb you, that's a lot of times where you can hear God speaking to you. And Lon, it seems like you've heard the Lord speaking to you a lot, showing you a lot, revealing a lot of things to you. It seems like you've been through a lot. But we're going to get back to you in a second, and we're going to take a break at the moment. All right, folks, you are listening to Christ Today on KKXX, 930 a.m. and Y104.5 FM. It is January 2015, and if you have a business out there that you want to advertise, or you like this show and you want to help sponsor it, or if you have some feedback for me, the radio host, feel free to give a call to the station. The number for the station is 894-7325, or you can call me directly at 332-0826. Anyways, I hope you're enjoying this show. I hope you're walking with the Lord one day at a time. Remember, it's not you today. It's Christ today that'll make a way for you throughout the rest of the year. And folks, I hope it's not your resolution, but it's God that's providing for you and speaking to you of what he'd have you do. And I hope this show is being an encouragement to you today. And so we're going to get back to the program. All right, Long, we are back. So anything else that you want to say from your heart? Continue on a little bit more, or anything else that you're thinking of? Or
well, I sitting there reflecting during the break again what I'd just been talking about. Again, I prayed here before I went into this that it's like John the Baptist said to he must increase and I must decrease. And
that's so
this,
true.
This is not about me. I really just pray that God would take my heart. And believe me, I'm not in one thing I've learned that, you know, we can get a sense of self-righteousness, you know, if we've been a Christian a long time. But, you know, we're all failures in that sense. None of us can reach the righteousness of God. It's only through his imputed righteousness in our hearts. And I'm learning today. There's some things I'm going through right now that I'm learning some lessons on. But, you know, one of the things I encourage everybody, you know, is that be a good avid reader. You know, readers are leaders. I enjoy reading. You're talking about quiet time. I've tried to, in our busy culture, you know, we get so busy, and it just reminds me of that story of the still small voice in the Old Testament where, you know, God didn't come through the earthquake. He didn't come in the big winds. He came through a still small voice telling us to go this way or that way. And we have to quiet our souls. I just read a book called Soul Keeping. You know, I work part-time at the Family Christian Store. I'm just an employee there, but it's a ministry for me, and I guess God's put me there because I have this addiction, I guess, of writing, reading, buying books and reading, and got to be careful. I don't want that to make that my altar. You know, it's God first, but if you look at my house, there's books all over the place, and this past Christmas season, you know, that you know, there's just hordes of people come in, but I guess God's put me there, and people come in, and they're able to, they're seeking things in a ministry. I pray for people there, and they're looking for books. I found this book to be helpful, and so I'm able to help people experience what I've read. It helps them. So I really just, it's just a great ministry God's put me in. The reality is I found a way to fund my addiction buying books down there. I just work there. But anyway, it's...
What a way to take care of your habit.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, back to the quiet time theme, the soul keeping book I was reading, it was, we need to pause. You know, he was quoting a guy in Texas, slips my name right now, a very famous guy. He just passed away a few years ago. But he was talking about how, Dallas Willard. Mm. And he was talking about Dallas's mentor telling him that the enemy against spiritual growth is busyness, that four little word busy. And life creeps in, it crowds in, it pushes God out in our culture. We got to do this. You got it. I'm the got it guy. Got to get it done. And it's just hard to sit down and have a peace and quiet and read God's word, first of all, number one. But then read something else that speaks to our soul, that reaches down to our soul, you know, the soul keeping that helps to align who we are and our identity and get our bearings straight. And that takes time. Jesus took time out, even his busy crowd, to be alone with the Lord. And we all know that. I mean, if you've been a Christian a long time, I'm not preaching to the choir here, so to speak, but it's just an encouragement to you. You know, I find that when I'm, there's a great story I like to tell about the this architect who had an assignment to get done by Monday, and he had a drafting table at home, and but that particular weekend, his wife was going to be away, and he had to take care of his little 2-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting there, and his son, like a little 2-year-old, wanted to spend time with his daddy, so he kept pulling his pant legs and said, "Daddy, let's play. And he had this tension, you know, loving his son, wanting to spend some time with him, but trying to get this deadline done. And so so he finally looks down, and he notices a magazine down on the floor, and it had a picture of a globe on it, the world, you know, the earth, and blue, and the clouds, and everything. Mm-hmm. So he takes the picture and tears it up in little puzzles, you know, pieces, and thought, okay, that's entertaining for a while for me to be able to get some major stuff done here. So he does that. Just a few minutes later, the boy turns out, Daddy, I'm finished. And the father turns around and looks down, and there was the picture of the world all together. And he was just astonished how his son had done that so quickly. He says, "Son, how did you do that so quickly?" He says, "Well, Daddy, on the other side was a picture of a man. When I put the man together, the world came together automatically."
Explain that.
Well, it's just an illustration, a story that if our inner world is all apart, our outer world is going to fall apart. So we have to take time for
that's so true.
To take time with the Father, our Lord, and our relationship, our soul, to take time to spend time with God and let Him speak to us in our heart and minds and who we are, so we can align ourselves up with His will and make right choices. Again, we make our decisions, and our decisions make us. And the only way we can make right decisions is to spend time with God, because we can get caught up in our own ego, our own wounds and our hurts and our pains in life, that it crowds out the real message, how God loves us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants to help us. His desire of His heart is to make us successful. And so it's like Paul. How did Paul be able to have such joy? There's a difference between joy and happiness.
Explain.
Well, Paul in prison wasn't very happy being beaten up, okay? If you read his resume in Acts, you know, about how he's shipwrecked and beaten so many times, he didn't have a really happy resume. It wasn't a, you know, success story of the year. But he found joy. He wrote the book of Philippians, you know, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Amen. How could he say that? Because he had the joy of Christ in his heart, no matter what pain, trials, the three T's, you know, trials, temptations, and test in our life. He knew how to have that joy in the midst of it, through the fire and the floods. So I firmly believe, you know, it's no fun. I mean, it's painful. You know, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, it hurts just as does anybody. You know, you're not naive, think that you can be in this world of bliss. You know, oh, nothing bothers me. You know, oh, I got cancer. Well, praise God. Listen, there's pain. There's mm-hmm. suffering. But the question is, how do we get through that pain and suffering?
Tell us.
I think it's against faith. I think you have a radio station here called Faith on Fire, as I look around the room here.
Yeah, Pastor Vince Haney does that show.
Yeah, and so Shadrach and Abednego, even if he does, do you have the faith? Even if he doesn't, you got to realize you got to have an eternal perspective, not a temporal perspective.
Faith is looking to God, too, and not trusting in our circumstances or trusting in ourselves. You mentioned earlier about how you couldn't have really trusted in yourself, and you couldn't have looked to yourself or the circumstances that was going on, yet God came through for you. And I think a lot of us, we try to put ourselves in the picture. Well, if I can't do it, it can't happen. If I can't provide it, it can't happen. If I can't make it happen, it can't happen. And sometimes God's like, it's not happening because you're trying, you're doing, you're making.
Right.
If you'd stop and let me come through, you'd be amazed at what I can do. I heard not too long ago, maybe you'll get a kick out of this, but whatever is man's impossibility is God's possibility. So whenever you become an impossibility to yourself, the possibility of God showing up is much greater than when things with you are all possible.
That's fantastic. You said that very well. I should be interviewing you. You got a story to tell.
I would like somebody to sometime. Maybe you will.
Yeah. You never know. It's possible. It's possible. With all things, with God, all things are possible. Not some things, all things.
I want to ask you another question. We're getting ready to almost close. And I just talked to my last guest a little bit ago about something out of this book called Scandalous Freedom by Stephen Brown. And he talks about success. And you talked about the Success Center. And I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to feedback on it.
Okay. What was the title of the book again? I'm
sorry. Scandalous Freedom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But let me get to the page real quick.
While you're looking there, I just want to make a big quick comment about the temporary versus eternal perspective. Ephesians talks about that, you know, to set your minds on things in Christ. If all we think is this life, that, you know, that this is all there is, then we're going to get really frantic because we feel like the guy on the cliff that's hanging by the very limb that's about ready to break, and he looks down and he sees this big juicy strawberry, and the limb breaks, and all he says, when the limbs break, I'm just going to grab that strawberry, eat as much as I can before I go splat on the end of the cliff. That's a temporal perspective. You know, all things work to good for those that love the Lord.
Yeah.
And if we have a eternal perspective, then it may not make sense in this life, but we have to believe that God's justice, and that someday we'll be with him in eternity in heaven.
Anyways, he's talking about success. Mm-hmm. And he says, by success, I don't mean that you become the president of your company, get voted the most popular person in your class, become famous, make lots of money, or get asked by every service club in your town to give a talk titled Success and How I Attained It. My definition of success doesn't prelude that sort of thing, but it focuses on something else entirely, becoming all God would have you to be. By success, I mean the kind of life not held back by some kind of imagined restraint from a God who has decided that if anything good happens to you, he made a mistake. You, having had a success center, you understanding success, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, there's a little poem I have on my wall, and I can't really locate it right now, but it's it says, I asked for riches, but you gave me poverty that I might care. And it goes on and talks about things like that, a little quote. And I put that in my wallet because it reminded me of the things that I think that are going to make me successful. God has another definition of success. And he's, you know, we want things as young people. We want successful things. We want nice homes. We want nice cars. We want this and that. But success is the progression. It's one step forward to where God wants us to be. And if it's not about what we do, it's about what we become.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do we have the love of the character Christ within our beings? And sometimes the crucible life is the only way God can teach us these things. If you study every personage in the Old Testament, every one of them, David was after God's own heart, but he had a major flaw. He committed murder,
mm-hmm,
and adultery. And it's a story about unconditional love. Moses, I just watched this movie Exodus, great leadership. But he was an angry man, too. So
some of us struggle with that.
Yeah, so success, you know, man's definition of success is power, prestige, position, the three Ps. God's is one of humility and teaching us to love and care unconditionally for people. And, you know, taking time out to care for those in need. I mean, that's what Jesus said, you know, it's a missional community effort, you know, to care for those in need and those least in our society. That was what Jesus' message was, to love and care. And that takes, that's the one thing you were talking, just a quick story about Back to My Wife again, Back to the Future.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, when she was, you know, always had a, you know, a go-getter attitude, successful in the world's eye, academic scholarships, you know, start my own business, you know, manage employees, all those kind of things in life. But God was more concerned about my individual character that he's still working on. But my individual character was one of self-centeredness. It was all about me, Lon, and what I do, and what I wanted, I. And I'm still working on that. He's not finished with me yet. I'm a work in progress. But when I was caring for my wife, primary care, you know those commercials you see on TV where they're in silence screaming, you know, as a primary care provider, I learned the importance of that. But I remember carrying my wife to the restroom. in my arms, helping her in that state of vulnerability. And I realized that in order for me to give like I had to give there, I had to be selfless. And it was a moment of truth for me that we got to change from everything being about us. Even in the Christian world, we can be too busy building our empires that we don't take time to die to ourselves. Die a little, live a little. Die a lot, live a lot. And men in this world, we need to be leaders. Self-sacrifice. And do those things. And I'm talking to myself. You know, I'm not saying I've arrived on this and I'm some great hero here. I'm talking in the crucible of life. I live this every day and learning every day. And I just thank God's grace that he's teaching me these things. I just hope that I demonstrate that and all the things I learned from this point forward. So,
well, Lon, thank you for being on the air today. We're going to get ready to close out. And I just want to thank the listeners for listening, for having tuned in to Christ Today on KKXX 9:30 a.m. and Y104.5 FM. I encourage you to keep listening. We'll have different shows every week with great, inspiring guests. And Lon, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you on the show today. And I'm going to ask you to pray out.
Thank you. Privilege of prayer. We are blessed to be able to go boldly to the throne of God. Father, you know, I just spoke from my heart today. I don't know where you're going to take that, but I talk from my feelings, not from just a business perspective on things, but from my heart, real life. I know there are a lot of people out there in hurt and pain, homeless, abuses, crying, hurting during this Christmas holiday season that we've gone through and now coming out this new year, looking to, do they have a hope? Is there anything going to change in their life? Is it always going to be the same? I just pray that what I've had to share, Lord, that you can use by the power of your Holy Spirit, that would teach these or help these people to give a little ray of hope. If they can go grab your word and start reading in Psalms and learn that your loving kindness is there for them. You're not the image that they may have portrayed in media, but you are a caring, loving, graceful, tender-hearted Lord that wants to soothe our pain. That you want to teach us the abundant life that you promised us, not in the things of this world, but in the ways of eternity. And I pray, Lord, in our world, in this country, and where we are and the conditions exist, all the wars and the pain, all that we see and the fears that are operating out there in our world today, internationally, terrorism, and all these things, Father, I pray, Father, that they would see you and that they would have hope. Because you are the God of hope. You're the God of all comfort. Amen.
Well, listeners, look forward to talking to you next time. And have a great week. And may God bless you all. It's been a pleasure to have you listening. And I hope you've been really blessed. Lord,